words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The sermon for today, the Sunday after Ascension Day, which was Thursday, is "The Holy Ghost Will Reprove the Word." It's written by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. Jesus begins what he has to say in this morning's Gospel by telling his disciples to look ahead into the future when the Comforter has come. This selection, like so much of what we have read since Easter, is taken from Christ's farewell address to the disciples at the Last Supper. One of the main purposes of his address is to tell them that he is going to go away from them. He knows they will be sorry about that, but he tries to assure them that in the long run they will be happy. His going away means he can send them the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Strengthener. The Sunday after Ascension Day is near the point of the first novena. A novena is a 9-day cycle of prayer. On Ascension Day, 3 days ago, Jesus told the disciples to pray for the Holy Ghost to come down. We know the Holy Ghost is going to arrive next Sunday on Pentecost, what we Anglicans call Whitsun Day. I don't want to rush past the Ascension just yet. That is, after all, the Sunday after the Ascension, not just the Sunday before Pentecost. We shall have plenty of time to think about the implications of Pentecost when it finally arrives. Just after the section of his Last Supper address, which is today's Gospel, Jesus continues with words we heard as the Gospel 2 Sundays ago. He says that when the Holy Ghost has come, he will show the world that it was wrong about what is right. In the King James words, he will reprove the world of righteousness. Jesus goes on to say that what proves the world has been wrong about what is really right is that I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. The world thought Jesus was wrong, so the world killed him. But that proves that Jesus was really right is the Ascension, when he goes to the Father and they see him no more. It was certainly possible to claim that the resurrection was fake. Maybe Jesus didn't really die on the cross. Maybe the disciples just stole his body and said he had escaped the grave. But faking an ascension would be a far taller order. Who could possibly arise from the earth and enter the cloud in the presence of the Almighty except God himself? And if the one who went up is God himself, then he must have been right after all. And he must still be right. And so we and the world are well advised to pay attention. The second significant implication of the Ascension is pointed out in the proper preface for the Ascension octave. It says that Jesus, after his most glorious resurrection, manifestly appeared to all his apostles, and in their sight ascended up into heaven to prepare a place for us. That is an allusion to yet another part of Jesus' farewell address. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Those are some of the most comforting words in the New Testament, so it is no wonder that the prayer book appoints that they be read at funerals. Jesus is telling us that one major purpose of his ascension is to get our places in heaven ready. And if he bothers to go to heaven to get our places ready, we can be confident that he will come back to get us, to take us up into those heavenly places so we can be with him forever. As the preface concludes, that where he is, thither we might also ascend and reign with him in glory. Yet another purpose of the ascension of Christ is to complete the cycle of Old Testament sacrifice. God told the Hebrews to sacrifice animals as thank offerings and as propitiatory offerings to take away sins. The most important sin sacrifice came once a year when the high priest carried the blood of the atonement offering into the Holy of Holies in the temple at Jerusalem. The Epistle to the Hebrews tells us that the Holy of Holies in the temple was just an earthly shadow of the real Holy of Holies, which is the throne room of God in heaven. It says, Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear the presence of God for us. So in his ascension, Jesus presents God with the blood of his sacrifice of himself, just as the high priest presented the blood of the atonement offering. Because Jesus is both the priest and the victim, both the one who offers and the one who is offered, his sacrifice is perfect and not repeatable. God requires no more blood sacrifices. That is why we make the point in the creed that Jesus is sitting down at God's right hand. He can sit down because his priestly work is done. He doesn't have to stand at any sort of altar anymore. He pleads his sacrifice for us as our mediator and advocate. Quoting again from Hebrews, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So as we look forward to the coming of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, next week, let us continue to rejoice in Christ's glorious ascension. He has shown the world who is really right. He has finished his sacrificial work as our great high priest. He has gone back to heaven to get our places there ready. If it were not true, he would have told us. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.